A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant at the G, Yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah!
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Our hitter's bracket continues, but also, what's the biggest obstacle for the Astros getting back to and winning a World Series in 2024? Also on Twitter, Dusty Overnighting Pudding from California is a huge obstacle from Kevin.
Is California banana pudding the best banana pudding?
I feel like banana pudding doesn't ship well.
Where do the best bananas even come from? I truly do not know.
Hmm.
I've gotten into bananas recently. No, not like that. I've gotten into bananas recently because I was looking for a little extra potassium in the diet and stuff, You know, to help rebuild my growing muscles and such.
Are you like Will Levis?
No.
You eat the peel?
No. Ew.
So we've already got a wager going on the show about, you know, if the Rockets make the play-in tournament, you paint your fingernails. If they don't, you get three baby mamas.
No, I'm not doing that.
How do I get you
to
eat?
I do not want kids.
How do I get you to eat a banana peel on the show?
No,
a banana with the peel.
You won't. The idea, like, the banana peel is the protective case on the outside.
Chaz McCormick, 3 home run game.
I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that.
Chaz McCormick, 3 home run game,
no.
3 pounds of banana pudding.
No. Well,
3 pounds. I feel like the show could do 3 pounds of banana pudding in a show.
I just see how much Paul could fit.
I mean, that would be, what, like a pint, essentially?
That's a great question.
3 pints?
I've never weighed it.
So. I've never,
a pint is 12 heavy. Ounces,
it seems
I think?
Heavy.
I think a pint is 12 ounces.
So 12.
I think. I'm not sure.
We don't know a damn thing about anything.
We don't know nothing about nothing.
Fluid ounces is also different than
that's a good
pounds.
Point. All right,
but, where are the best bananas from? 713-780-3776.
I Googled it. It said the top banana-producing countries in the world include Ecuador, Philippines, India, Brazil, and China.
China getting in the game.
Yeah.
In the banana game. 3 versus 6, Kyle Tucker versus Jose Abreu. Who has the better year?
Ooh, this one's fun. It should be Tucker.
It should be Tucker.
But there's a part of me that wonders, with the way that Abreu finished the year, with the Pilates he's been doing in the offseason, and also because I'm a little mad about Kyle Tucker's most recent postseason performance, there's a part of me that spitefully wants to pick Jose Abreu. But I don't think I can do that in good conscience as one of the preeminent baseball minds here in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they call me Baseball Paul. I feel like I have to pick Kyle Tucker here.
Yes, Kyle Tucker advances. Any objections, Sean?
No objection.
Okay. All right, let's get to our Astros opening day countdown question.
It's always Astros time in Houston. Are you ready to play?
A lot of people were wondering what it was going to be like if the Astros didn't win the division. I guess we'll never know.
We're counting you down to the Astros season opener against the New York Yankees March 28th.
16 ounces in a pint, by the way.
Thanks, Day One, Donna. And text line. God, sometimes we make ourselves look dumb.
Whatever, I know what I am.
We're gonna steal this question today from the text line, 6941. A question for the G-Spot, because that's the name of our show, according to some people. More confident that Bregman in a contract year will outperform Tucker after his arbitration snub last year.
Hmm.
So I guess we're skipping ahead potentially in the bracket here a little bit. But are you more confident that Bregman has a breakout year than you were with last year with Tucker? I thought the arbitration snub stuff was overblown, to be honest.
You think so?
Yeah.
Why?
You don't think that
bothers him at all?
I'm sure it does.
Last year it must have. It was $2.5 million last year.
Yeah, I'm sure it does. And those meetings are gnarly, especially if the players are in them. They're literally telling you why you're terrible when you're not.
It would have been a really mean one this time around with the playoff performance.
Yeah. And
just a slideshow just says choker on it, and then him striking out.
But then also he has to say, hey, look, I caught the last out in the World Series. He had to run a little bit for it. I was watching the highlight today.
Wasn't the Chaz McCormick catch.
It was not the greatest catch I've ever seen. Not really, but it's pretty good.
Damn, you sold it, and then you just Greenberg that. The less timing for the
it
Vaughn
was
Callen back.
I didn't want to get challenged on it because I'm
not going to challenge you on it.
I didn't want to fight
especially
it.
Coming straight off the ounces and a pint thing. Yeah. Where you're just pretty confident
with,
as well.
Well, as soon as I said it, I started thinking of people making diving catches or just those great catches on Taos Hill. So I
bring back Taos Hill.
Agreed.
Would that help the batter's eye? You put a big pole in the middle of the batter's eye. All of a sudden, everybody's a killer bee again.
Sure.
Can hurt.
Bring back the pole. I want people to run into the pole more.
We're at no bad idea zone with the batter's eye.
You got to do something.
Do you trust Chaz McCormick to run up Taos Hill, though, and not hurt himself? Yes.
I don't trust Jake Myers.
Jake Myers.
Taos Hill.
Yeah, Jake Myers.
It would probably prevent him from hurling his body into the wall like he does annually in a comic looking like he just got punched into it by a superhero fashion.
There should be an outline of
the Wile E. Coyote. Yes. Yeah. Jake, honestly, that also should be put in center field, like an outline of the last time Jake just went ass backwards into the wall.
Just a chalk outline.
Just be like, hey, Jake, remember, this has happened multiple times. We don't want you to miss, like, 7 weeks.
Every inning running out to a spot he has to look at and like, yep, okay.
Don't do that.
Don't do that. That's why Jake Myers can never play in left field. He would run into the Crawford
boxes.
Oh,
my God. Yeah, that would hurt.
He just face
first. Those are metal.
Yeah, that would not be pretty. 6941, biggest obstacle for the Astros this year is our pitching coach. Okay.
I just remember that they used to have Brent Strom. And that makes me sad.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of you don't want to be the guy following the guy.
You don't want to be the guy following the guy.
Well, Brent Strom.
That Diamondbacks rotation is going to be nasty.
Brought in Jordan Montgomery today.
Jordan Montgomery, Zach Gallen. They've got some.
Coached by?
Brent Strom. They got the goods there in Arizona. 2010, Joe, I've never heard someone give an opinion about something and then completely flip or be afraid to back.
This is honestly, Joe, it is your worst habit.
You weren't even challenged.
I know.
It is your worst habit.
No one had a
I know it
to
is.
Respond.
It's because I got bullied by the bees for a year.
You
they
did.
Just, they beat me down. They beat
Joel
me down.
Joel like a rescue puppy is what you're saying.
Yeah.
For those who don't know, after the show, Joel used to pull out some brass knuckles and just punch Joe in the thigh.
I just got to remember.
It was really mean. Right. And,
yeah.
and then every now and then Jeremy would walk by and crop dust him. And like you don't have to deal with that anymore.
I know.
You don't.
It was the best catch I've ever seen in the World Series.
What about
I don't know. You're wrong.
But the best catch I ever saw was when Manny Ramirez intercepted a cutoff throw and, for no reason at all. It was an impressive catch. He was no
intention. That is an all-time baseball.
That's my favorite catch ever. Manny Ramirez is being a total idiot on the field. I miss him. He was great. Also a Hall of Famer that should be in.
True.
100% should be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Well, you know who has the second most postseason home runs to Jose Altuve?
Manny Ramirez. Yeah.
Not in the Hall of Fame. What are we doing?
I love being Manny.
Manny was fun. Nope. Now, he did some bad stuff. Like, he pushed an old guy down once, like, at the edge of a dugout. So
yeah.
So did Pedro Martinez.
Oh, that is a great moment, too, in baseball history. When he throws the old guy.
That was just what the Boston
Zimmer.
Red Sox were about back then.
Dude, the Red Sox was a squad. The Red Sox were fun. The Red Sox,
throwing
when I
old
loved,
guys around.
When I was a Red Sox fan, it was a fun time to be a Red Sox fan.
I miss them sometimes.
And now you get to be an Astros fan.
Yeah, bandwagon jumper, baby. I have no shame.
There's nothing wrong with bandwagon jumping.
Right, exactly.
I'm a jumper.
You haven't jumped on the one that we want you to jump on.
I jumped
yesterday.
On.
We bullied
I'm
you.
On
he's
it.
Two, he's got one leg on each bandwagon. That's what he's...
Yeah. I'm on the bandwagon. I'm still holding on to the old one a little bit. They're like holding on for dear life. I'm still holding
yes,
on.
Yes, you can walk it back like you just walked back to think about the catch.
But I'm on the Astros bandwagon for sure. I have no shame. No shame in that.
Can you give up either the Bears or the Cubs? You can give up the Cubs.
I don't watch the Cubs anymore.
Good. Okay. You gave up the Cubs.
Yeah, I don't have enough time in my life for that.
See, there you go.
What am I supposed to watch? 424. Is that math right? That's not 642.
When I
624 baseball games.
Wait, what? Are you doing 162 times 2?
This has been a banner segment for math.
My first math was close.
We went
and
from,
then I and then I it got worse.
We went from ounces
holy
and a pint.
Christ.
324 was the number you're looking for.
I went 224 to 442. I skipped 300.
Joe, what's 1 plus 1?
2.
What's 1 times 1?
1.
What's 1 divided by 1?
1. He's going to try to trick me here.
You're back. No, 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 no.
I'm getting nervous.
No, 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 no.
1 divided by 0.
0.
You can't divide by 0.
Well, I feel like I'm still correct.
Don't do that. We're trying to build this confidence back up.
That's like 7th grade
math. No, it's not. Yeah. I don't remember that one.
I don't remember that one either.
And I got a 700 on the back part of my SAT.
I'll be honest with you. I had to think about that. I was like, I don't know if I know the answer to this question.
Oh, my God.
Woo! What a day. Astros opening day tomorrow. You know where you don't have to do math most of the time? When you're gambling. However, this weekend, when we were betting on the overs and unders at LaBerge Lake Charles, was I doing math on my calculator to figure out how many points I was away from hitting my overs and unders? Yes, I was, because I couldn't do the math on my own.
What a transition.
So my phone calculator was helping me at LaBerge Lake Charles. Great food, great sports book, 19 betting kiosks. Plus, while you're there, you can download the ESPN Bet app. Yes, King of Twitch, my phone is a calculator. I'm telling you right now, that's what I use. I don't need to figure out overs and unders and math in my head. I can use my phone. LaBerge Lake Charles, great spot to bet, great place to go watch your Texas teams. They said last year the sports book was crazy for Astros games during the playoffs, so I definitely can't wait to go back this year. We'll be doing a couple of shows from there as well throughout the year, and when you go to LaBerge, make sure you download the Penn Play app. You can win up to $2,000 in Penn Play cash. And make sure you go to LaBerge Lake Charles.
This is Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Paul and Joe inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Our next matchup in our best hitters bracket, we'll do in just a second, but we're still taking your questions, of course. Question of the day, what's the biggest obstacle from the Astros getting back to the World Series in 2024? Let's see. One said they're washed.
Who said they're washed?
8270, the Astros' biggest Oscar obstacle, I'm guessing, is they washed up.
Okay, so this person drunk texting.
Yeah, come on, guys. It's 119.
You know what?
Wait till we're at the decoy tomorrow and take some Mexican candy shots with us.
Yeah, or go to Highway Cantina later on
and
do the same thing. You know, like there's lots of options. But I don't think this person's doing very good with the thumbing. So the idea that the Astros are washed, to me, it's going to happen eventually, but it can't happen this year. I just don't see how it would. I remember there were a couple of times over.
Who's on washed watch?
Oh, that's a great question.
A Verlander?
Justin Verlander. If you're 40 years old, you're automatically
on
washed watch.
Altuve?
As a pro athlete or not.
Be Jeremy Branham and say Altuve.
I mean, he's the old. I'm thinking of old guys.
To be washed,
you have to be a certain age, right?
Yeah.
Most of the
time. Yeah. I think his season last year and postseason.
Yeah.
I think that it's fair to, you know.
He's on the watch list. He's on the watch list.
Nah, I don't think he's even on the list.
Okay.
I don't know.
Then it's Verlander.
Verlander, Rafael Montero.
Well, he's just on the sucks list.
Rafael Montero.
he's on two. There's a could be wash list. So this guy's still good. This guy was never good. Yeah. And this dude's just dog.
Rafael Montero is maybe the most washed man alive in that he probably smells amazing. Like, that's how washed he is.
Ryan Pressly?
That one is a good one. I think that's a good nominee. And look,
like 35.
Speaking of Ryan Pressly, pause takes on Ryan Pressly.
I hate the you're going around a long time, a long time.
They're keeping it.
They're going to cut you down. Because it's ridiculous that everyone's shining the lights and waving them back and forth. So now Ryan Pressly comes in the middle of the game in the seventh inning or eighth inning, probably the eighth inning as the setup guy, and they're going to do that? I'm sorry. You got to be the closer. You got to be the closer for that. And on top of that, look, Pressly has had an incredible run with the Astros, and I'm not about to say he's about to suck. I'm not. But last year, it did not feel as dominant.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm saying. And that's why it's very easy for Josh Hader to slide into the predominant closer role. I love that Ryan Pressly is still a part of this bullpen. He has done a lot for this team. He is not bad. But I think there's a good nominee for if somebody is perhaps going to all of a sudden find himself not being the same player he used to be. It makes sense for it to be a reliever who's getting up there in age, who's been here for a while.
And part of that's also he's going to be in a new role. And you hear from time to time closers talk about when they're not in a safe situation, because they're such psychos, not being in a safe situation, like they can't like perform in the same way as they can when it's like the game's on the line.
Yeah. Ken Giles, for example. I'm punching myself in the face.
Yeah, that Paul punches himself in the face.
No, the nice part about Presley with that, though, is that he was not a closer always
in Minnesota.
So that's you hope that he can revert back. And plus, he knows he's only doing it for 1 year.
Yeah. I will say I am with Paul, though. It is a bit ridiculous that the eighth inning guy gets the intro music.
I also agree.
I think he can get it on nights that he pitches the ninth and is going for the save. When Hader, you know, say Hader's got used the last 2 days and they want to give him a night off, and so Presley's the closer, then he can have it. But you can't do it in the eighth inning.
Yeah. It, honestly, even when pitchers come in earlier, they shouldn't use it. It should only be for the ninth inning at all times.
Agreed.
Save it for the ninth. But they're going to use it. So if you love it and you hate our takes on this, because I agree with these guys, it should go away. Does this mean that Presley requested to keep it, you think?
I don't know, because that's
this seems like an olive branch.
Yeah, that's what it feels. I was going to say, it feels more like a team thing, being like, hey, listen.
We're sorry we took you out of the role, but we're going to give you – you still get this kind of treatment because you've been here for a while.
Also, the game ops people have to be in the loop, and they're probably like, yeah, sure.
So what's Josh Hader going to get?
McTaggart put out a poll about this.
Yeah, he was down to three, I remember, three songs, and he apparently told McTaggart to, like, put up a poll, and I'll pick whichever one wins the poll. I want to say it was a Lil Wayne song.
I think you're right. I think it was a Lil Wayne song.
I think it was Fireman, actually.
Okay.
Yes. No, you're...
I don't know what that song sounds like, but that sounds like it would work.
All right. Who has a better year or hitter's bracket? Alex Bregman, Yiner Diaz, our 4-5 matchup.
Ooh. Bregman. Yeah, I guess all the top seeds are advancing in this one. What Yiner Diaz did last year was in, 100 games or so, was really incredible. No one expected that. No one expected that. And you're hoping that you get more of that. But, I mean, if Bregman is ever going to be the guy that he was in 2019, an MVP finalist, what was he, second? This is the year. It's last year.
Yes.
He wants to earn a ton of money. I think that he had some good moments in the postseason last year. He has a full offseason where he wasn't dealing with an injury like he did last year to get better. Chandler Rome has that article out how he's at peace. Feels like everything is adding up to an Alex Bregman massive season.
It does. The way spring training's gone for him, it leans that way. So, you know, Baseball Reference puts out, they do projections before the season. So Baseball Reference, their projections for Alex Bregman this year are hit 262, 22 home runs, 86 RBIs, and 805 OPS versus Yiner Diaz. They have him at 830 OPS, 20 home runs, 58 RBIs, 276 batting average. So they have Bregman better in most categories besides overall batting average. This would be pretty close. If it was that, you would give it to Bregman, but Bregman's going to have a bigger year than that. He's not going to win the MVP. I don't believe he's going to, but I think there's going to be a lot of moments where he's going to have conversations about he should be in the conversation. So it's Bregman for me, but I did struggle with this one.
Okay.
A little bit.
Yeah.
I wanted to lean Yiner, but just
everything. It's Bregman.
Just off the like last year's numbers, Yiner Diaz had a better year than Alex Bregman.
Yeah.
And he only played 100 games. A lot of times he was the DH. And now he is going to, like Paul mentioned, I think in the first segment, he's going to be the everyday catcher now for the Astros. So his production will probably rise, but also there is going to be something to – it is just going to be harder to prepare when you're having to prepare not only the pitching game plan, but also your own hitting game plan against the other team's pitcher. So I think that mixed – this is all the stuff that doesn't get baked in into the baseball reference projections, is that it feels like things are adding up for Bregman to have a good year, while things are adding up for Yiner Diaz to take a like half step back, or maybe just plateau at where he was last year. Not you're just building and improving.
Sure,
I'm with you there.
Yeah, so Bregman advances. So the top four seeds advance. So Jordan Altuve, Tucker, Bregman are your four guys in to the next round of our hitters bracket that we're going through today. With Yiner Diaz, how long do you think it takes him to really get a feel behind what he's doing behind the plate to earn the trust of the pitchers?
I think it's going to be quicker than you expect. And I read that piece by Matt Kawahara in the Houston Chronicle. He's the Astros beat writer for them now, talking about how last year they had him work on blocking, you know, making sure pitches don't get past him. And he, at the end of the year, for everybody that was qualified, 300 innings as a catcher, he was in the 90th percentile. And if that was something that they thought was an issue before, okay, he improved on that front. Now the real question is the framing and all the other stuff that you have to do. Because there is an art to making a ball look like a strike.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we still do not have robo umpires. So there's a little bit of deception and gamesmanship. And I guess he has been working on that. So it sounds like he is a quick learner. And if he is a quick learner, then it stands to reason that things will move pretty quickly. But at the same time, with the way Maldonado was always described, you could scoff at it or be annoyed by it.
Mm-hmm.
But if everybody in the clubhouse is saying the same thing about Martin Maldonado, in spite of his putrid numbers at the plate, there is some shred of truth to what they were saying. And it's going to be hard for him to be that guy, just based off of the way that he's always been described.
Yeah, we'll see how it plays out. I mean, you have to hope that he learned enough last year while watching Maldonado. Mm-hmm. It does always go back to the question of like why Dusty Baker clearly never felt confident that Yiner Diaz could make those adjustments and be ready to catch these guys during the year last year when he was so clearly a better player than Martin Maldonado. So hopefully this season, you know, that they're not the biggest thing is I hope we never get a Martin Maldonado call. We will, but I hope we never do. About people saying
a caller calling in asking about Maldonado,
like, how much they miss Maldonado.
I'll do it.
Yeah, come on. We don't need a call. We got this guy.
Right? Yeah.
Just wait for the Astros to give up four runs in a game, and Yiner to go 0-3.
Speaking of it, at 2:30, we're gonna do some Astros prop bets. But they're my prop bets. And Martin
Your
Maldonado,
prop bets.
They're my prop bets. Mm. I am the sports book today.
Okay.
We're going to try to start some fights.
On the other side of the glass.
Yeah, we're going to try to start some fights with these prop bets.
Oh.
With maybe the show that's on from 3 to 6.
Get the people going.
We're going to try to get the people going a little bit. But and Martin Maldonado will be discussed during these. But our 10-minute drill, that's next year on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Set, punch.
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant and Joe George. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time. Stephen Holder writes for ESPN.com. He reported today that the Houston Texans, the team that they stole Danielle Hunter from, was the Indianapolis Colts. That he took less money to come to the Texans instead of playing for the Colts. It does sound like state taxes did have something to do with it. So, Texas for the win.
Also, Indy blows.
Yeah.
Fast. Sorry, Vanessa.
First-class organization over here.
Yeah. In a first-class city.
Didn't want to slum it over there.
Our owners don't use booger sugar. I don't think.
Well, what doesn't Jim Irsay use?
You don't have to walk that one back.
Is Jim Irsay still
stood by that one?
Is he still in control? I mean, I saw yesterday on Pat McAfee, they had this very attractive woman who I guess is the vice president of the Colts who was in there, and it also sent like I forget what they had on the graphic, but it to me the second title that they gave her made it seem like she was the interim owner or something.
I've always kind of wondered how involved he is besides what he tweets.
At this point, especially, because no one knows what the hell's going on with him. Everyone's talking about Kate Middleton. Let's talk about Jim Irsay.
So it's his daughter, it looks like.
Okay.
And she said that her dad was doing better and people were checking in on him, it looks like. So I would assume at this point he's not really running the show. And it's really all the family that's running the organization right now. Which not that's not surprising.
Carly. He's kind of Carly Ursay Gordon. Damn, okay.
He's been going through it. That's well, you're going to fly to Indy and try to get in?
Well, she has two last names. Well, listen, I'm running out of options.
Sugar Mama.
So why not? I mean, I'd move to Indianapolis for her. Sure. What?
I mean, it's Indianapolis. I know there's a lot of money.
Just going to hold a boombox up and play In Your Eyes.
Okay.
By Peter Gabriel.
I cannot imagine that would work well for you, Paul. No offense.
Why not?
We've never met
handsome.
This person.
Listen, just be hot. That's the key to life. Just be hot.
Just be hot. It's working so well for you, Paul.
Wow. Yeah, it's so true.
Tre'Davious White, who some people wanted the Texans to sign. I was intrigued, depending on what his medicals would have looked like. He signed a 1-year deal, $10 million worth to Rams. That's a good move for them.
I wonder what the actual figure is, too, because they're saying what the absolute north side of this deal is. I doubt it's that. I bet it's even lower than that.
That sounds like a $3 million contract.
Yeah, yeah, seriously. Well, and understandably so. I mean, the Achilles injury, knee injury, it's a lot to come back from. And I know a lot of Texans fans wanted it, but yeah. I'm not so sure.
Yeah, well, the Rams are an interesting team in 2024. They had a surprise run at the end of the year, obviously make the playoffs. Matt Stafford's probably on his last run. If not this year, maybe two more seasons. But we're at the end of the road for Matt Stafford. And look, 10-7 team, they should be one of the – they're probably one of the best teams in the NFC this year, I would guess.
It doesn't take much to be one of the best teams in the NFC.
It's not. It's hard. It's a hard conference to judge. Like, the NFC South, I got no idea. I know the Atlanta Falcons have Kirk Cousins. It feels like it means nothing to me at the same time. You have Derek Carr, Baker Mayfield, Kirk Cousins in a division.
Yeah, it's just one of those teams is going to go 9-8 and win the division.
Yeah. Like maybe Kirk Cousins gets the Falcons to 10 wins and helps them on the way. So the Cowboys have reportedly had contract talks with Dak Prescott, but they have no urgency to do a deal. The reporting on Dak's contract has been all over the place, mm-hmm. where they're similar to what Chandler's story said, that they're basically at peace or that they're good with where they're at right now. You have reports that he's essentially gone, and then Jerry's talking about how he can win a Super Bowl. I can't keep track of what's going on with the Cowboys and Dak Prescott.
I can't either, and if I was Dak, I'd be annoyed by all this.
Yes.
I get it. It's a noisy organization to play for, but I don't know. At a certain point, how about let's let things play out,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to making everything seem as murky as it seems right now? And, I mean, I guess the hope for the Cowboys is that Dak Prescott flaccos his way to a Super Bowl this season and that they have to dramatically overpay him in the offseason. But is that likely? No, but it wasn't likely with Joe Flacco either. So I mean,
impossible.
If you're a Boys fan out there, yeah, I suppose you could say, well, if Flacco can do it, who can't do it?
One of the challenging parts about Dak Prescott, I didn't know this, the way that they have restructured his contract, if he hits free agency, they're still going to have a $40.46 million dead cap next year, even if he just walks away.
Wow.
Because it's like they made him voidable years. So that's tough.
So they have to.
You have to keep him then. You can't let a guy walk and then have $40 million in dead cap.
Just re-sign him. Even re-sign him for 1 or 2 years just so you don't have to deal with that after you let him walk.
Yeah.
Like, just have that out of the contract.
Also, that makes me more confused about NFL contracts. But how a player can walk away in free agency and you can still have dead cap hits.
They're all so. Like, you have to have, like, an accounting degree to understand these.
At best.
Yeah,
you might need way more than that, to be honest.
Honestly, colleges should just start offering like NFL capologist majors. Like, you can major in being in understanding the NFL cap.
Isn't the key just you happen to have access to lots of cash immediately, and thus you can put money on the back burner? That's how the Rams kept circumventing the cap, right? Because Kroenke's rich as F.
Yeah,
I would imagine that the Panthers would be able to do stuff like this if anyone would actually want to stay playing for them with all the money Dave Tepper has. I guess the real exception is
what the hell is going on with the New Orleans Saints, but I just assume corruption with everything involved in Louisiana. No offense.
Fair.
No offense.
Former Jaguars.
Why we love you, Louisiana.
Sentenced to 220 years in prison for child pornography. So, Jaguars hiring some winners.
This isn't the guy who's stole the $6 million for a gambling addiction, right? This is a different guy? I think it's a different guy.
It's a different person. But when I first saw the story, I was like, well, this guy's really the scum of the earth.
Man, I thought
it was the same guy, too. I thought they were just now.
How many of these things are they still going to blame on Urban Meyer?
A lot of them.
Right? I mean, like, they may as well just keep on doing it. Like, well, Urban Meyer ruined the culture of his team.
Urban Meyer hired this guy.
The Urban Meyer defense. What if Johnny Cochran, like in the South Park episode where he provides the Chewbacca defense? This is Chewbacca. Chewbacca is a Wookiee. That doesn't make any damn sense. Urban Meyer should be a Florida Gator coach. He had a heart attack. He likes college-age girls. Doesn't make any sense.
Did you guys hear how this guy got caught?
No. Was he doing it at work?
No.
Was Chris Hansen involved?
Installed the Jumbotron. He helped install the Jumbotron in Jacksonville. And he hacked into it and was, like, messing with it during the games. Just, like, changing what was on the Jumbotron. So because of that, they investigated him. And then when they investigated him and him hacking into the Jumbotron, that's where they found the child pornography.
Wow. So he was just trying to have a couple giggles while
bleeps and giggles during the game.
While watching the Jaguars go 1-7 to end the season.
Wait, is this the Nazi guy? Wasn't it the Jags that put up the Hitler trivia during the game?
That was Michigan State.
Oh, Michigan State, okay. I got my team's confused.
I like where your head's at, though.
I was like, wait a minute. Connect the dots.
You're connecting dots. No, man. Again, like we were talking about with all the gambling guys yesterday, these people get caught in the stupidest, most avoidable ways possible.
Yeah,
truly.
I just was messing around, hacking the Jumbotron. Oops, they found my kiddie porn.
Yeah, good thing they caught him, but just like, what a... What a way. Speaking of betting, just on, I guess this is a football story, but it's a non-football story as well. Apparently, college athletics.
Oh, yeah.
The NCAA is going to all the gambling companies and saying no prop bets for players. Now, some states already don't allow prop bets. Like, you couldn't bet on.
Why?
An over-under? Because they think the college players are more likely to get caught in what Jontay Porter got.
Like in New Jersey. In New Jersey, you can't bet on New Jersey college sports.
Illinois is like that, too. You can't bet on Northwestern Illinois.
The mob?
Yeah.
You
can bet on any college team except for your own.
But you can literally drive to another state and do the same thing,
yeah,
can't you?
I know. But, like,
but they can't. Not our problem. That's the state being like, hey, we're not allowing it.
I expect that to happen here. It wouldn't shock me if Texas legalizes gambling, if they say you can bet on everything except for UT, A&M, Cougs.
I just don't think it's ever going to happen. I mean, I feel like they have misplaced priorities, you know, with like an attorney general facing like a six different scandal.
They're not going to legalize it, but it's going to get legalized.
But gambling, oh my God.
They're going to go federal. This stuff's getting kind of out of control. Not out of control, but... Some of the stuff is the tip of the iceberg.
I don't know. I think people like to bring up stuff like this as part of some sort of push towards morality. Obviously, there is a very large portion of our country that is Christian, like that obviously has, you know, religious reasons for not doing X, Y, and Z. And I think very often that these issues are brought up, stopping doing things like legalizing marijuana or stopping the legalizing of gambling. Is brought up to kind of incense these people who have their reasons for not wanting this stuff to be legalized. And I think generally something like gambling, like that's going to be brought up and people are going to be like, we can't have this. It's dangerous.
Yeah, I just...
And it's immoral.
If they federally do it, it might be they'll be able to have more control over it. So that's why I think
I understand
federally
that.
They'll legalize it before Texas will legalize
but
it.
But things take so long to legalize 100%. Federally. I mean, you know, marijuana is still a Schedule I drug because of Reefer Madness and Hearst like back in the 20s.
Waka Flocka points out here on the Twitch that you can't bet on Rockets at Golden Nugget. Yeah, that's because Tillman owns it, so it's not allowed. I remember when he took over. I think it was the Rockets were playing the Warriors in the Western Conference Finals. And if the Rockets would have made it to the NBA Finals, they were still going to give credit to all the team, if you bet on the team from the East, that advanced, and the Warriors. from getting to the NBA because they were just like, well, the Rockets basically don't exist now.
Oh, wow.
That's how they do it. So
I sat next to Tillman Fertitta, by the way, at the Ime Udoka press conference on Monday.
He's an interesting guy.
He tapped me on the shoulder and he was asking me, like, what was the last question about? And I thought to myself, I was like, damn, I don't think I was paying attention. Because I was like, why is Tillman Fertitta sitting down next to me? But I was like, oh, yeah, he's asking about Jalen Green.
Tillman's an interesting guy because
Tillman once called in to someone who was filling in for my show, Mark Ryan.
Yeah.
He called into his show because I think something disparaging was said about the Cougs, and he just was on for a full segment. Guy listens. Shout out to him, Paul Gallant show listener, even though Paul Gallant was not on the air that night.
Funny thing, when I was also at the flagship at night, when you were doing mornings, he called in once.
Yeah.
I think that was right when he bought the Rockets.
Must have been.
And we were talking about something, and he just like randomly called in.
Interesting. Man, doesn't even listen to the Rockets flagship. Interesting.
Well, they don't have any program yet at night, so.
What's up, Tillman? How's it going?
Hey, Tillman.
Tillman.
I have some thoughts.
My guy.
two other
rule
changes.
I got an investment opportunity for you. just give me $1 million and I'll figure it out.
I'll be a consultant.
Yeah. For we'll figure it out.
I could be your consultant.
You know what? I can get coffee for Ime Udoka.
That'd be a great
offer. Me $1 more than what I'm making right now. I'll leave.
I'll deliver the best Texas pecan coffee there is.
Other rule changes we missed very quickly. The NFL approved a rule that allows you to challenge, or the NFL can overturn when the game clock expires before the snap, and they can up top they can stop the play. They can say, "Hey, we missed that one. We messed up." They also, the sky judge, I know that's what they don't call it, can also now, before the next play gets to 20 seconds left on the play clock, can jump in and say that was not or was roughing the quarterback or
pass interference.
Not pass interference when like the ball doesn't cross the line of scrimmage. What am I looking
for? Ball spot?
No. When the quarterback illegally throws the ball out of bounds.
Oh,
intentional grounding.
Intentional grounding. That's what I'm looking
for.
Yeah, so the sky judge can fix those things now as well.
Oh, right. Did you mention, too, that I think you did. Now they're going to be looking at delay of games, potentially.
Yeah, that's going to be...
You can review delay of game.
That's going to be interesting how...
I mean, that's something that should have been in effect for a while. Because I feel like, I mean, the way that they have described how they determine whether or not a delay of game has happened, there is nobody actually looking at the clock when the ball is snapped.
Mm-hmm.
So almost always delay of game is happening.
Yeah, it's like clock, ball, back to the clock.
Yeah.
How much time you have.
Right, it's one guy looking there.
Yeah.
Where on the broadcast, you can see regularly.
Why don't they just have like a buzzer in their ear?
I don't know, but now, I mean, here's the funny thing that the NFL is getting out of all this. And we touched on this before. Now you have potentially more replay, which is going to lead to more commercials,
mm-hmm.
more money for the NFL, more waiting and longer games for us.
And another
way, not thrilled with that.
Another way the NFL is going to make more money, Albert Breer from the Monday Morning Quarterback yesterday on the Dan Patrick Show, he said don't expect the NFL to start just throwing out 15-yard penalties for the hip drop tackle this year. He said that he thinks the NFL is going to try to do what the NBA did and just find the hell out of all these players first. And instead of trying to figure out what the penalty is in real time, they're going to try to solve it by finding these guys and trying to send the message that way. Hopefully that works. That would be actually very nice if it happened that way. The Texans officially cleared $6.4 million in cap space by restructuring Shaq Mason's contract. So when we get back, we'll discuss what they're going to do with that money, if anything. We're going to get back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Before we do, I want to tell you guys about my friends at O Athletic. You can check them out at oathletic.com or at 767 North Shepherd. Over 100 classes per week from weightlifting, agility, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, boxing, MMA. They've got it all for you. Whatever kind of classes you want to take, a ton of variety of options. They offer personal training. They have all the free weights, exercise machines throughout the gym. They have this cool little soccer field as well, or just turf area where you can do different kind of workouts on that as well. My personal trainer, Cam, can't recommend him enough if you're going to go to O Athletic and sign up for a personal trainer. So check him out, 767 North Shepherd. You have your rest and recovery as well. The sauna, steam room, they've got that stuff for you that you can use to take advantage and get your body healthy. So whether you want to lose weight, get fit, just lean out a little bit, you can do that at O Athletic and oathletic.com.
Gallant and George.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Paul and Joe inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We go to semifinal round number one of our best hitter in 2024 for the Houston Astros. The number one seed, Yordan Alvarez, versus the number four seed, Alex Bregman. Who has the better year in 2024, Yordan or Breggy?
I think it's going to be Bregman. And part of it is because I think that Bregman's going to play more games. Bregman regularly plays more games than any Houston Astro. Hopefully no injury happens. Mm-hmm. Knock on wood for that. He's in a contract year as well. If it's ever going to happen, another huge year for him as a Houston Astro, one that we haven't seen in, amazingly, 5 years, this is the year for it to happen. I think it is going to happen. And I hate to feel this way with Yordan Alvarez, but I just expect him to miss time, especially if they're going to do something, Joe, that you aren't thrilled about, which is putting him in the field on a more regular basis than they have in the past.
Now, one of the advantages that Bregman has here is Yordan's going to bat second. So in terms of RBIs and coming through for your team, if Alex Bregman's batting third or fourth, because it does look like there's going to be times, if not pretty often, that Yordan Alvarez and Kyle Tucker are going to hit back-to-back 2-3 in the lineup with Bregman hitting fourth. Bregman's going to have a lot of opportunities to drive in a lot of runs with those three guys in front of him. I mean,
it's going to be interesting to see them with this lineup this year, too, because it's just going in the modern direction that so many people were pissed that Dusty Baker wasn't doing last year, to have one Altuve leading off. Okay, you've done that for a while. That is a terror to have as the leadoff batter with his home run potential, mm-hmm. You know, just like George Springer before him. But Alvarez at this two spot. Theoretically, Alvarez has more at-bats.
And that's what it's for. You're playing a numbers game here at that point. But so you're going Bregman, huh?
I'm going to go with Bregman, yeah.
Wow. Well, Sean, you're going to have to break the tie because I'm going to go with Alvarez. I know he will play less games than Alex Bregman. Even if he doesn't get hurt, he will play less games than Alex Bregman because he will just take days off, and Bregman really just does not do that. I really believe Yordan Alvarez is going to hit 40 home runs this year.
40.
He's just going to hit tanks. And he does. And he needs to stay healthy to do it. But I think Yordan Alvarez is going to hit 40 home runs this year. And even though he's not going to have the RBIs, potentially with, you know, only Altuve in front of him, that bottom of the order should be better to where it should help him to be in position to drive home, you know, Jeremy Pena, Chaz McCormick, Jake Myers, and Altuve, whoever's at the bottom of the order before it turns over. So I'm going to go Yordan Alvarez.
Yordan Alvarez has never hit 40 home runs.
I know.
Okay.
But we all know he can.
But why hasn't he?
Because he's not been on the field enough.
Guess who has hit 40 home runs in a year before?
Alex Bregman.
Yeah, he
and
did.
And guess, I'm just going to start saying some numbers. 155, 157, 156, 91, 155, 161. Do you know what those are?
How many games he's played?
Games played by Alex Bregman.
Yep.
So almost always in the 150s. He played 161 last year. He missed one game last year. So you're going with
it's crazy
a health risk versus the opposite of a health risk. Again, only 1 year since his rookie year has been impacted really by health.
And he's in the best shape of his life.
Best shape of his
life. That's at least what he's saying.
Playing for his contract.
Yeah.
Had a higher WAR.
Give that man his money.
Yes. Thank you, Teddy KGB.
Yes, I'm from Russia.
He had a higher WAR last year, speaking of Russia. Mm-hmm. So I think Alex Bregman in a contract year, I think we have our first upset of the bracket.
I'm shocked by this because even last year,
this is the best matchup. Like
it is.
The thing is, yes, it's the worst matchup for Yordan Alvarez because
also true.
By all the rate stats, Yordan has them. It's just the cumulative ones and availability comes into question, and he's playing a guy who's literally never hurt.
I know, but Alex Bregman played 161 games last year. He had 98 RBIs. Yordan Alvarez played 114 games last year and had 97.
Yeah, because he was driving in Alex Bregman.
That's a good point. Good. Touche. He had, you know, he had 6 more home runs last year than Alex Bregman in 50 less games.
Yeah, Bregman's going to be better, though. Do you see that tank he hit off of J.P. Frank?
And he's just ripping tanks right now. And I'm so excited about Bregman. This is why I looked ahead at the bracket when I made it, and I knew there was a chance this was going to happen. But, all right, you guys outvote me. Alex Bregman advances in the bracket. Jordan Alvarez eliminated. Can you be the best player in baseball or even closer if you get knocked out in the semifinals of your own team's bracket? It's tough.
Well, the thing is, he's, you know, the other best player in baseball. It's like, it's Judge, going to miss some time. Otani might go to prison. So availability against those guys is not an issue. It's just against Iron Man, Alex Bregman, who we all think is going to have a great year and hit the ground running.
All right, we've got lots of questions about the Astros rotation. We'll get to those next year when we return to start hour number 3 here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
First, let me tell you about my friends at MyBookie and MyBookie.ag. Big time showdown for the Houston Rockets tonight. They're looking for their 10th straight win. And interesting news today, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Oklahoma City Thunder's best player, he is out. Not playing tonight. The Rockets, as things currently stand at mybookie.ag, and you might want to jump in on this when you can, are 4.5-point dogs. With the way they're playing right now, you got Jabari Smith Jr. back in the lineup tonight after he got suspended for Monday's game against the Blazers. It's a tough test. It's the first tough test the Rockets have really faced over this stretch. I mean, this is one of the best teams in the Western Conference, currently the 2 seed, but can they cover that 4.5? You feel that way, mybookie.ag, promo code BET975. As soon as you enter that promo code in, put in a deposit. They're going to match it up to $1,000. And you get to play with it right away. So if you're feeling the Houston Rockets right now, the Ime Udoka era, the Jalen Green hot streak, if you think that I am going to be painting my fingernails at the end of the year, mybookie.ag, promo code BET975. Again, the Rockets are 4.5-point dogs. Put some respect on their name. If you want to pick it, it's mybookie.ag. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with mybookie.ag.